Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Hey, it's the Smarticle Podcast. He's Brandon. I'm Larry. Hey, Brandon, before we get going, I just want to say happy leap year to you. We're going to get an extra day here in a few days. What are you going to do with an entire extra day?
I'm not going to do anything other than what I normally do. My daughter did say, man, it would really suck if your birthday was on February 29th. I said, no, you just throw a huge party on the 29th. That's the only thing I think about leap year at all.
I've met those people occasionally, and they don't they don't like the joke. They don't like the, oh, I'm only 10 years old joke.
I've never used that joke, and I guess I wouldn't even have thought about that, but sure.
Wow, you're a real fuddy-duddy on leap year, Brandon. Okay, well.
I don't see how people could not understand that that was, that they're not 10 years old. But, you know, if that's the joke, hey, sure, go for it.
Wow. Guess what you need? A little dose of happiness, Brandon, because you seem a little grouchy today.
Oh.
But before we get into that, it's your 5 seconds of silence brought to you by Smarticle. Okay, here's the headline. Happiness Crash Course, Key Lessons from Yale's Science of Well-Being class. This is a post written on Medium by Anna Pauly, who went to Dr. Lori Santos's class at Yale, and she sort of recaps happiness and the class. Brandon, you didn't do Woke Magameter before. I'm assuming you're not going to do it again.
Well, I did do a little bit more research on Anna Pauly. She did write a book about called like Lesbians and Cats.
Ew.
Or something. She's a happily married lesbian woman from the Bay Area, writes for Medium. So I'm assuming she's woke, but there's no, you know, maybe she's not. I don't know.
We spent some time recently going on about what does not make you happy, which I think was actually really important. We're now moving on to what actually does make you happy. And a reporting from this class. Number one, not buying stuff makes you happy. Living and investing in experiences. I love this. Like you're talking like I don't buy my family presents, but I love to go places with them. I just love that so much.
Yeah. Well, your kids are a little bit older now, so I'm assuming they're probably starting to appreciate it a little bit. I'm still at the point where my kid is mad when she doesn't get a present. But we're buying you an experience. We're going to wherever. And she's like, oh, I'm like, hey, if you're going to be a Doble, you're going to have to love road trips because we loved a road trip. So I think when you're little, there's an expectation of material things. But as you get older, I totally agree. I would much, much rather go on a trip than buy a new car or something else. It just means things. I mean, yeah, it's nice to get things sometimes. And if you really want something, that's great. But buying stuff ain't going to make you happy. Experiences will give you a chance to be happy.
My mother-in-law, my mom, give me a little cash for my birthday, Christmas, blah, blah, blah.
Still?
Yeah. They just, you know, whatever, give me a little
that.
Bit. I always put that in my sock drawer and save it for like a golf trip with the guys.
Slush fund?
Or, well, yeah, it's like the slush fund in an experience. I'm like, I'm going to buy me some new Nikes. It's always like, I got my golf
trip. Wait a second. If your wife listens to this show, isn't she going to know where your secret hiding place is now?
Push back there, big boy. Wife's never listened to the show. Will never listen to the show.
Would it make you happy if she listened?
No, actually, it wouldn't.
No? You wouldn't be happy?
Nope.
Oh, I enjoy it when my wife listens.
My daughter did listen. She quoted me back something the other day, and I was like, what are you doing, 16-year-old daughter?
What was she doing? What'd she say?
I don't know. It made me very happy, though. Made me very happy.
I love that daughter of yours. She's great. She's a great kid.
So I'm going to push back when I read this one. Something that also make you happy would be savoring enjoyable moments. And I remember at the loneliest and saddest parts of my life when my dad died, other things, just being in a shower and enjoying a shower, enjoying like warm water. That's the best.
G-rated show, Larry.
I'm not talking about...
Yeah, I could not agree. I went out and walked a little, what do you call her? Rin Tin, little Chia, whatever
Chin.
You call it. Chin Chin. Rosie, took Rosie out this morning. Every morning she's got a little routine. We go out and it's starting to get spring around here. And that doesn't mean anything in California because the weather's always exactly the same. But when you live in a place when there are seasons, the change of the season is always makes me so happy. I just love it. And it's getting spring and the mornings are crisp and the birds are out. And I because of this article, not that I wouldn't have normally taken it and gone, oh, that's amazing. But because of this article, I took 5 minutes when I was walking my dog to just enjoy the morning. I was like, wow, it's beautiful. A little bit of fog over the mountains. I was like, this is what it's supposed to be. So I appreciate that.
Just think about what you could have gotten done if you didn't have a dog, Brandon.
I guess. I don't know. But having that dog made me go outside in the morning. I may not have done that.
Part and parcel with happiness, I think, is gratitude. And there's a whole section on gratitude.
Yeah.
And one of the main parts is recalling the good things in your life. If you just turn on the news for 5 seconds, you hear about our immigration issue, people coming across the border. If you think about how amazing it is that you get to turn on water from your faucet and sit in it for 5 minutes and have drink it, go in the shower with it.
Yeah.
Just gratitude for your life.
That's a good way to look at it, Lawrence. I like that. I mean, I sort of take those things in, maybe never that, but I'm like, you're right, man. Having clean drinking water is a luxury. I mean, so many things that we take for granted in the United States, around the world, they don't. If you've traveled at all in any countries, any third world countries, you know, man, we are blessed. And the fact that people sit around and complain, and part of this article was the hedonic memory, that you forget those things. But I think that's why you have a gratitude. I love that they have a gratitude journal. I think it's a really important thing to constantly remind yourself. I was at a friend's birthday party.
Oh,
a shout out to my friend John, just turned 40. Good dude. Had this great backyard, having a band out there, and all these kids. It was like kids running everywhere. You'd have been in heaven. It was a Larry Olson moment. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, when I was a kid, when I was a little hippie kid out on the ranch, and they would always have these events and the kids would be running, it just struck a core memory in me. And it just made me grateful. I was like, wow, my daughter's getting this experience right now. And all these other kids are getting this core memory experience. I love that.
Can we go back to you traveling in third world countries and tell us about you pooping in a hut in Machu Picchu? If you could go back.
Oh, I did do that. I know that.
You did.
It was really, really gross. Yeah, and there's a perfect example of these people that
you
stand over these pit toilets and you're like, oh, I'm so grateful I don't have to do that. I'm so grateful. When we were a kid living on the ranch, we had an outhouse. I tell my daughter, I'm like, we did not have indoor plumbing. We had an outhouse. And people are like, what? I'm like, dude, hippies, man, going back to the land.
Can you then?
That was gross.
Further deep dive and tell us when you have to go clean out the leeches in the outhouse. Brandon, could you tell us about that?
Well, there are no leeches in California, dumbass.
In the septic tank, you had to go do the leech clean.
I've never told that story on air. I told you as my friend one time, but I'm not going to tell that story.
Well, I'll be thankful tomorrow.
I'm grateful
that we don't have to hear you tell the leech story again if you tell
it
today.
There are no leeches in California, Larry.
Okay. Anyways,
no, there were no leeches.
Part and parcel with gratitude, happiness. Then comes, Brandon, kindness, similar to gratitude, counting kindness. I don't like giving gifts in general, but when I think of a really good gift that I'm excited to give one and I give it to someone, it just makes me so happy. For instance, my in-laws have this giant freaking dog. It's almost like an elephant, but it's a dog, and it's got so much of Labrador. It's got so much hair. And I remember thinking for Christmas, I got him one of those iRobots, the Roombas, thinking they could just turn on a vacuum. They don't ever have to vacuum. They just turn it on. And it just made me so happy to be able to give them a great gift. Kindness to someone else. Always, they use it ish.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this as you were saying that. I think of you as a good man. I don't know if I think of you as a kind man.
Yeah.
You're kind of mean to me a lot, and you're kind of mean to people. Mm-hmm. Well, do you think of yourself as a kind man?
No, not really.
Man?
I mean, yeah.
Well, why not then?
I mean, you could always be kinder.
No, but I mean, you know, I mean, is there a reason in
Here's what I would say. Okay. Part two of this is there are always times where I'm like, you know what? I should buy that person's coffee when I'm standing in line, or I see someone fumbling around. I'm like, but I don't do it.
As opposed to other people that actually, if I see people fumbling around, I'm like, I got their coffee. But you stop yourself at the border of kindness.
Yeah, I do. I stop at the border of kindness too often. That's a great analogy.
I need
to cross the border.
Yeah, you do. You know, it's funny. You talk about gifts. I remember I love getting people gifts if I think they're going to like them.
Yeah. And,
you know, part of that's a little bit on you, you know, ego. Like, oh, I really hope they like this gift. I mean, you should really give a gift just because you like giving it. But whenever I see a shirt that I think you're going to like, I've probably done it 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, I'll buy you a shirt. And I wear them all the time.
And you know the reason why I like shirts so much? I collect them. I have like 400 shirts. I don't collect anything else. The reason is, it's like, for me, it's a memory of the place I've been or a restaurant I went to. And I just really like that. I like the conversation it starts. That leads me to happiness. When someone comes up to me, it's like, oh, man, you were in blah, blah, blah. You were in Montana. I'm like, ah, that place was great. I love that. It makes me so happy. So I don't know. There's things that people, I mean, you say don't buy stuff, and I agree with that. But collecting or giving, I think, is a really good thing to bring happiness.
Let's stay on your random friends, people talking about your shirts thing, because in order to have happiness, you need to have social connections. And I love this. You need stronger social ties to people you know. But here's the other one. You need to talk to strangers. We've talked about this before. Yeah. To be happy, you need to talk to strangers. Isn't that bizarre?
No, I don't think it's bizarre. I think that some people have problems talking to people. You know, there's my dad was the king of, and Corey's mom was the queen of, just talking to everybody. Like, go to the grocery store line and say, hey, how's your day going? You know, I was like, oh, Dad, seriously. Like, he did. And I found that I've become a little bit like my dad in a sense of, I'm like that Geico commercial where you become like your parents, the new homeowner. I find myself being like that. Hey, how you doing there, Alice? I'm the total name tag abuser. But I genuinely want them to feel better after having come into contact with me, not worse. And so, like, you know, I try to engage with people. I try to read the room a little bit to say, hey, this person's clearly not having it, so I could back off. My dad would just be like, barrel through. But so there is something really important to talking to strangers.
You're saving tissue boxes like the commercial. This is a great one, too. Happiness is flow, right? So it talks about doing something that you're skilled at and you forget about time. You'd like, you're so into whatever you're doing, you don't even think about getting on your phone, taking a picture, blah, blah, blah. There's that great Netflix documentary called Chasing the 100-Foot Wave. Why do adventure-seeking athletes go and ride a 120-foot wave when they could die? It's because the only minute of their day that their brain is not thinking about anything other than what they're exactly doing. So they got to go in a 100-foot wave to do it. Being in a flow state makes you happy.
Oh, absolutely. And I think about like why exercise is such a great thing. Mm. Same basic idea. It's like when I do a really hard workout, that's always when I see people just like, you know, kind of going half ass at it. I'm like, well, they're not really getting there. But when I get a really hard workout and I'm sweating and I'm tired, I'm just trying to get through this workout. It is hard. But there's something incredible about it. Number one, the endorphins of when you're done with it.
Ew.
Number two is how it's going to make you feel in general. But it really is the way of just for 1 minute or 30 minutes or four, whatever it is, to turn off your brain and just get in touch with your body and just go for it exercise-wise. I just think it's amazing.
Exercise, sleep's important. But back to your idea of flow. I know this is sound crazy. My wife's flow state is puzzling. She literally...
Oh, no, I don't think that's crazy. Buddy, I don't know any men that do that, but I know like five or six women that flow state. My wife loves puzzles. Like, just loves getting into it.
Honestly,
our friend Christine loves it. Yeah, it's weird.
My wife is like got 1,000 things wrong with her, but like she starts puzzling and she's happy. And I'm like, God, you seem like a loser. Like, you seem
why?
Like a loser.
Well, wait. I think that the reason why people get into a flow state and puzzling is because you're creating something in front of you. There is an end to it and it's challenging. So I totally get it. My ADD kicks in so hard that I'm like, I can't leave it. I don't know if that's OCD, whatever that is, but I can't start a puzzle and walk away from it. They can just start a puzzle and leave it on that. We have this puzzle board now that my wife puts under the couch. And when she wants to do a puzzle, she pulls it out and gets on the puzzle. So yeah, that's the same idea.
Kind of trying to wrap this up, using your signature strength. So this article says having a good job doesn't make you happy. It's doing what you're meant to do on your job. I always feel great when my boss comes in and I can do what my boss is asking. It makes me feel like there's meaning, there's purpose, like I'm doing what I should be doing. Now, that's not always the case, but that like doing something you're meant to be will make you happy.
No, I agree. And I think that when you do the thing that you're good at, you're probably good at it because you've worked at it, and it can bring that state of happiness for sure.
Lastly, I volunteer. I think most people have volunteered at something over the course of their life. You're like a soup kitchen, or you volunteer with veterans, and it's like you're doing something that's kind of rote that most people could do. And you're like, okay, well, did I need to be here to do the food pantry? Probably not. A robot could have done it, whatever. But I volunteer at this place and they make me host this trivia game.
Yeah.
And it's like the only time in my life that I've ever felt like, oh, they're using the skill that I was born to do to volunteer. And it's right. Yeah. I'm like, oh, there's meaning in me doing this.
And I think that there's something about that the other part of it, if you truly think about it, is that when you volunteer, you're telling those people they're worth it.
Yeah.
And I think that that is, if you can sort of, it's the same thing of like walking and enjoying the spring morning. It's like remembering that it's not always about you, that sometimes it's about what you can do for other people. And that brings gratitude and happiness, all those things. That's why lots of people love to volunteer, because it does bring joy to not only them, but to other people.
I'd like to wrap up by saying this. I lose money doing this podcast with you. You mostly 30% annoy me, but it does bring me a great amount of happiness, because in some crazy way in the universe, it does feel like it's what I'm supposed to be doing. So, Brandon, you bring me happiness.